And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our only strength and our only Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." We make our plans, and then the Lord laughs at them. As we know, next week will be my last Sunday with you. At least that's the plan for now. I was only supposed to be with you a couple of years until you called your new pastor, but it's been over 5 years. Now, don't get me wrong. I have absolutely loved my time of ministry here at St. Peter's. It has been a real privilege to serve you. And if I was younger and had more energy and better health, who knows? But we read, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." As you know, almost 2 weeks ago, my wife had a knee replacement, her second one. We thought it would be like the last one, a couple of nights in the hospital and then home. Well, she ended up spending 6 nights in the hospital, and now she's at a rehab facility, and hopefully for only a week or two more. But we never know. Do not boast about tomorrow, for we do not know what a day may bring forth. While we don't know what will happen tomorrow, we still trust God that he is working out his divine plan in our lives. We have God's promise from Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. In the uncertainty of human life, we have to hold on to that truth and trust our loving God in all circumstances of life. As all of our money says, in God we trust. Well, David tells us about his trust in God in whatever circumstance, and we read about that in Psalm 56, one of our psalms for today. Now, the title of the psalm gives us the occasion of the psalm, a mictum of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. A mictum, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, is a term found in the titles of 6 of David's psalms. Scholars tell us that the term suggests a golden, a precious, or an engraved poem. Now, these psalms were typically written during times of severe danger, and they focus on prayers for deliverance. So David then gives us the setting as he begins. "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High." Now, it is obvious that David was in deep distress, so he cries out for the mercy of God. He also acknowledges that without the mercy of God, he would be in deep trouble, perhaps fatally. As we read, he would be swallowed up. Now, we need to note that David's enemies were greater than those who were on his side. But as he said this, we then have those great words of faith and trust. "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?" Listen again to this clear declarative statement. "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I have put my trust." David had trusted God from the time of his youth. We know that as a very young man, perhaps an early teenager, he had killed both a lion and a bear protecting the sheep under his care. And then there was Goliath. Again, David's still a youth. And we read as he approached Goliath, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you." David's complete trust was in God, and he knew that victory would come. Now, we can see from our psalm that David initially was afraid, and he wasn't ashamed to admit that. But he didn't cower in fear. He didn't say, "Woe is me." He didn't throw up his arms and say, "Oh, it's all over for me." No, he did as he always did. He expressed his complete and absolute trust in God. "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word." David knew the promises of God. He knew that he had been anointed as the next king of Israel. He had experienced firsthand that God was on his side. Well, the same God that David trusted in is there for us. The same promises that God made in his word are there for us. Promises such as I read from Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Promises such as, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Promises such as, "Lo, I am with you always," and many others. Knowing the promises of God, David could confidently say, "I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?" In Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They were given another chance to bow down, and again, they refused. And so we read, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up." Their trust was in God, and they knew beyond all doubt that God could deliver them, but even if he chose not to, they still wouldn't bow down to the gold image. That's trust, even in the face of possible death. Now, as we continue in Psalm 56, David returns to the issue at hand. "All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together, they hide, they mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life." We see that there is this concerted effort by all those who conspire together to ambush him. And they were many. And so he has a request for God. "Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down thy the peoples, O God." In other words, he's crying out, "God, take care of these people." Now, we go through many trials and tribulations in our lives. No one is exempt from trouble, and yes, even tears. As David says, "You number my wanderings, put tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book?" This isn't the first time that David shed tears. And we know that's true of all of us. We all shed tears on various occasions. But here again, we see his absolute trust in God. His trust that God will deliver him. "When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know," he says, "for God, because God is for me." What confidence he had in God. "This I know because God is for me." What a complete expression of trust. "This I know because God is for me." David knew that as he prayed, that his enemies would scatter and run, and he would be delivered. As the children of Israel were about to enter into the promised land after 40 years of wandering, God told them that if they were obedient to him, that he would bless them abundantly. And one of those blessings for obedience says, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Throughout the Old Testament, you can read of the times that God's people were given victory in battle and their enemies fled. David knew the promises of God, and he knew what would happen when he prayed. And so as a result, he then repeated his words of absolute trust. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? His trust in God caused him not to be afraid. And his trust in God elicited words of praise even in the midst of danger. And as he concludes, he says that any vows that he made were binding. In other words, the things that he said he would do, he would do. They say that there's no atheists in foxholes. In battle, people make certain promises, certain vows, and they say, if you get me out of this, Lord, I'll go into the ministry. Well, David made his vows, and he would keep them. And then he would praise God. Because we see the conclusion in the final verse. For you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? The results of his trust are that his soul, his very life, is delivered from death so that he may continue to walk in obedience to God. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Even though we do not know what tomorrow may bring, in reality, we don't know what the next hour will bring. But as Christians, as those who have trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord, believing that Jesus died in my place for my sins, that regardless of the circumstances, we can say with David, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? And so, my friends, we can say, in God we trust. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that we can trust you in all the circumstances of our life. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know what will happen even later today. But we trust you and we love you. And we pray that you would give us this complete trust that we may never fade away and that we may never fear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.